Well, good morning, Connect Church. I'm so glad to see many of you here live in person. I got to tell you, that's such a blessing to me, but I'm also glad that we're able to, those of you who are at home are able to join us as well. I want to start by saying again, I thank you who came today. If you saw my Facebook this morning, I try to post something every Sunday morning before the service. God was just kind of doing a work in me and preparing me. And, you know, with all the stuff that is going on, I just felt like God was saying, you know what? I'm worth more than anything you could imagine. I am worth everything. And yet we see oftentimes that we place the worldly things ahead of the godly things. Even in the midst of the pandemic, I was thinking, you know, I just want to tell everybody, tell all of you, I don't like wearing a mask. But you know what? I'll wear a mask to go to Walmart because I need things. I'll go to wear my mask because Kroger requires it before you can go in there. I'll wear a mask to get my hair cut. It's a little awkward, but I'll do it because I don't want to look like the Bushman. You know, I'll wear, and I know there's some of you, when you go and get a manicure and a pedicure because you want to look good, you want to feel good, you will wear a mask. And this morning, I just felt like God was saying, Jay, am I not worth more than all of that? You say, well, I need to go to get groceries. Is there anything more than you need than the Word of God, the bread of life? Is there anything more important that we need in our lives than the Word of God, which will not only meet our needs, but will guide our deeds? I mean, I'm going to get off my soapbox, but I'm so grateful. God just kind of clarified that for me this morning, that if I can go and do all these other things, that when I come to church with my fellow believers, my brothers and sisters, that's you, I can certainly wear a mask in your presence. And obviously, by maintaining social distance, there's no one within 12 to 20 feet of me right now. So you're good, because I sometimes get going, and there might be some spit come out of my mouth here in a little bit when I get excited. Especially if y'all start saying amen. It's hard to preach with nobody sitting in the pews. Can I just tell you that? Amen. But I got to tell you, the bread of life is the most important thing that we need in our lives. He is the only one that can satisfy. He is the only one that can fill. And this morning's message just narrowed right into this theme of the bread of life with our faith and works, with our James Inside Out message series. Now, I don't know if you can see this or not, but I hope that at home you'll be able to see this. I brought some peanut butter, some jelly. I brought two slices of bread, and I brought a spoon and a knife. Now, this is interactive. What do you think that I'm going to make with this? A peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to confess right here. Sometimes, okay, there we go. I guess I need to put this on, don't I? Sometimes when I'm hungry and I go to the refrigerator, and I know you don't all do this, but I do. I'll go to that refrigerator and open it, and I'll look in there, and I'll shut it. And I'll go back and sit in my recliner, and about 5 minutes later, I'm back up seeing if I missed something in that refrigerator. And I walk around a little bit, and something there's nothing that satisfies. I might nibble here and nibble there, and I'll say, nope, that's not it. Then I make my way over to the pantry. And when I'm really hungry and I want to be satisfied, I will go to the pantry and I open that up. And if I'm fortunate and blessed, there is a jar of peanut butter, there's a jar of jelly, and there's some fresh bread. You know, the kind that sticks to the roof of your mouth. And then if I'm really blessed, I open up the refrigerator and the things that I thought I missed, I didn't miss one of the important things, there's some ice cold milk in there. And there's just something that happens when you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and have it with a cold glass of milk that satisfies. But right now, all we have are the ingredients. We know that this jar of peanut butter, creamy, I don't like crunchy, I like the Peter Pan, I like this brand. I'm not getting any pay for this, okay? I just like it. And I like Peter Pan creamy peanut butter. And I know that the way this is designed is this is supposed to be spread on something. Or to get a big spoon and I don't want to tell you all my habits. And this jelly is designed to be spread on bread. Piece of toast, however, it's meant to be spread and used. And this bread sitting in this Ziploc snack bag is supposed to be consumed. We know that bread is made, and we love bread. We love our carbs. They don't necessarily love us. But as they sit right there, they look lovely, don't they? But they're not a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Why? Because they're not opened and they're not applied. We have a lot of Christians in our world today that look like the jars of peanut butter and jelly and sliced bread. Oh, it looks good. And we know, and the outside world knows, that as Christians we have a certain responsibility, how we're supposed to act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like. They know, the outside world and other believers know, what we're supposed to be doing. But if they're not opened and applied, that's all it is. It just sits there and it satisfies no one. It fulfills no one's desires. It doesn't hit the spot when the spot needs hitting. But there's something else that happens when we open up this bread and we take out that knife and this bread and that spoon. I'm going to try to keep this as sanitary as I know how. But I was in the Army, so we had a 10-second rule, right? But if you take out, and the first thing that, and I don't know, I think there's a method to it. I have never in my life applied jelly first. I always apply the peanut butter to the bread. And the bread's got to be the right kind of bread. And if I'll reach in there and I'll get me a good, I like more peanut butter than jelly. And I will apply that to this bread and begin to spread it out. And man, my mouth starts watering. Heard one of the guys, I think it was Matt, was talking about, man, I'm getting hungry already just thinking about that peanut butter. Well, you're supposed to eat breakfast before you come, Matt. So you spread that all out. Okay, that's part of it. So now we have a slice of bread with peanut butter. But is that a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No, because all the ingredients haven't yet been added. So we take out this other slice and we open up this other jar, and this is one of my favorites. This is Smucker's strawberry jam. Again, I'm not getting any pay for this. And I'll get me a big old hunk of that jelly, and I'll begin to spread it out. Get it all over that bread, so every time I take a bite, I'm getting both peanut butter, but also that jelly. Now, just like I asked before, is this a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No, it's just a piece of bread with some jelly on it. But there's something that miraculous happens when all the ingredients are applied and they're put together. This makes an amazing, fulfilling, satisfying peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Just like faith. Just like our walk with Christ. The bread is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. But that is, and He is enough, but for us to live a satisfying, fulfilling life and not just remain in the jar, we have to apply the rest of the elements of our salvation. The peanut butter and jelly, if you will. The faith and the works. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. But before that, I want us to pray again. So would you join me in that? Father, it's in Jesus' name and the power of the Holy Spirit that we have the privilege, God, Abba, Daddy, to bust into your throne room and climb up on your lap and tell you what's on our hearts and minds and listen to you, what you want for us, to help us, to make us better, to make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your work. I thank you that you convict where conviction is necessary. I thank you that you encourage where encouragement is necessary, and comfort and confidence and all those things. You give us strength to become all that God wants us to be. And I pray this morning that as we open up this passage, this particular passage of Scripture found in James, that God, we won't just be hearers of the Word, but we will be doers as well. We won't be those that remain jarred up and closed up, but we'll be let loose and begin to experience Christianity and our journey with you, Jesus, the way that you intended it. Oh, I pray for revival, God, for our country. I pray for all the things that are going on right now. God, I call our people to pray. Father, your scripture is clear. None of what we're facing as a nation will be accomplished politically, but only spiritually. We have a spiritual problem in our nation, God. And we acknowledge that. We accept that from you. We agree with you that there's a problem. And Father, it's your bread. It's your word. It's those things that sustain us and keep us moving forward that we need. So I pray we would glean from your word today the application process of faith and works. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, all right. So if you open your Bibles, we're going to kind of do this verse by verse or verses by verses. But James, as I said a couple of weeks ago, the purpose of James writing this book, it is the most practical book on Christianity application. It's hard. No one ever promised us it would be easy when we accepted Jesus Christ, but it is practical so we all can understand it. And understanding, when we apply it, it changes everything. You want to start living a life, instead of just hearing the Word of God like once upon a time, if you really want to start living it and experience it and all that comes with that, then we have to understand this particular passage of Scripture. And James begins to ask questions. At least when I was reading this, I came up with several questions that I believe that we need to contemplate. We need to consider the questions, and we'll start off with the question of salvation and sanctification. Salvation and sanctification. Now, in verse 14, he says, "What good is it, my brothers?" He's talking to believers. Get this as we approach this. He's not talking to someone else. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. He's talking to those that say we follow Jesus Christ. He said, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him?" Now, when you kind of begin to peel back and dive deep into this one verse, you start beginning, he's really talking about salvation and sanctification. James is basically, let me translate really what that verse, at least I understand. He's saying, can a faith that does not express itself in good works be a saving faith? Let me say that again, because I want you to really let this begin to sink in. Can a faith that does not express itself in good works be a saving faith? Now, that's rhetorical, because James knew that the believers knew the answer, and the answer is a resounding no. Because he's talking about you have to have, and we'll talk about salvation alone here in just a second, but he's talking about the peanut butter jelly sandwich. There's more ingredients than just say yes to Jesus Christ. That is the beginning point. We say yes to the bread of life, but there's other things that Christ expects us to apply in our life to have the fulfillment of the Christian journey. Let me make this clear. There is salvation only through Jesus Christ. You cannot get to heaven by doing. You can only get to heaven by saying yes to Jesus Christ. Scripture very clearly says it. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and from the NASB version, says, this is definitive. And there is no salvation in no one else, and I would add, and nothing else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given amongst men by which we must be saved. But, now hear me, with authentic salvation comes authentic sanctification. So, well, that's a big word. Let me tell you what that means. It's just real simple terms. Sanctification is the state of proper functioning. It is doing what the Creator designed the creature or the creation to do. It's fulfilling the purpose for which we are created. It's not just staying in the jar. It's not just staying in the plastic wrap. It's coming out and applying that to our lives. Sanctification is when it all comes together and we're doing what we're supposed to do, how we were created by God in the first place, as He designed us. God has a design for each and every one of us, for each and every one of you. Now, while you cannot be saved by doing, there is the word do that we're going to see often through this passage. A person can not experience salvation by doing. There is this falsehood that's out there, this false belief that believes if we just go to church enough, and if we belong to the right kind of church, and we bring with us to that right kind of church the right kind of Bible, and we sing the right kind of songs, and we're with the right kind of people, and we give some, we don't give biblically most of us, but we give some, that somehow that is going to get us into heaven. It's going to save us. Listen to, again, what Paul told the church in Ephesus, a group of believers. For you are saved by grace through faith. And that is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. We can't even be saved on our own. We need the help of Jesus Christ. And as we were sitting here today and I was looking at the empty cross, I was thanking Him for the hope that was brought from an empty cross. I was thanking Him for the hope that was provided by an empty tomb. And I was thanking Him for the hope of a coming again King who's going to take me to a place where He's prepared for me in advance. There is hope only in Jesus Christ. He says, not from works, verse 9, so that no one could boast. And you know, we have a propensity to that. All of us do. It's not just me. Man, look what I did. Oh, look, pat myself on the back to the point I got a rotator cuff problem. You know, we want to take credit. And He says, no, it's not of work. It's faith alone through Jesus Christ. For we are His creation. His creation, created, here it is, in Christ Jesus, for what? For what? Good, oh no, y'all go, wait, come on now, good what? Works. We are supposed to do. When we become, we begin to start doing those things. So the question I have, and He's talking about salvation and sanctification, is there's two questions. Have you experienced salvation through Jesus Christ alone? And are you placing your salvation in Him, your trust in Him alone for salvation? Or do you think somehow just showing up and logging on and having the name and having the bumper stickers and listening to the radio stations are enough? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? If you hadn't, it all starts with the bread of life. It all starts with the bread. If you don't have the bread, you're not going to ever have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If you don't start with Jesus, the foundation, you will never, ever, ever live the life that God created for you to live. You will never experience what you're deep down inside longing for. And now the second question, if you have experienced salvation, are you living out the design of how God made you? Are you doing the things, we have the phrase around and I love anyways, act like, walk like, talk like, and behave or become like Jesus? Are you doing that? A whole another series we'll get into down the road at another time. The second question, I want to get through these, is found in verses James 2, verses 15 through 17. The question of what I call declaration and demonstration. Declaration and demonstration. Look at what it says. If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith, if it does not have works, which is part of the overall package of Christianity, what good is it? It's dead by itself. See, someone said these three verses are the need and deed. The need and the deed verses. He's talking about, he's challenging believers. If you see a need, that means our eyes are open. We just sang and asked God to open our eyes. And we see a need and all we do is say, hey, have a nice day. God bless you. And we do nothing. We don't pull out our wallets. We don't lend a hand. We don't involve ourselves in the struggle of another believer. If we can't start there, our faith is dead, according to the Scripture. This is not an easy chapter we're in. Let me give you another one. I'll pray for you. I don't want you to raise your hands. But I'll confess, there have been times when someone has come up to me and told me something going on in their life. I said, I'll pray for you, and walked away and never did. Yeah, I suspect I'm not the only one. God's been working on that, and so now I try, when someone says something to me, I try to stop right then and there. I said, can I pray for you right now? Would that be okay? So that I'm not a liar of my faith. I'm here if you need me, but you're never available. Call me 24/7, and you don't answer the phone when it rings. I like what Kurt Richardson said. He said, a word of blessing without an act of blessing is like the promise of salvation without the saving action of God through Jesus. Being a Christian means we're going to not only declare that we're a Christian, but through our works, we are going to demonstrate that we indeed are followers of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3. Again, don't get mad at me. This is what the Word of God says. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, he reiterates James's point. He says, if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, but closes his eye to his need, how can God's love reside in him? Little children. And he meant that the way he did. It was a little bit sarcastic. Look, kids, we must not love with word and speech, declaration, but with truth and action, demonstration. You see, becoming a Christian, saying yes to Jesus, is the beginning, but the other ingredients, faith and works, must be there, or our faith, and thus our salvation, is null and void. Now, the only one that got a pass on, there's only been a few of those that have got a pass. The one that I'm thinking of right now was the criminal on the cross. He's hanging there next to Jesus, being crucified and tortured the same way that Jesus was. And he's hanging there, and on the other side, there's another criminal. And this guy is declaring all kinds of curses and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And the one says, hey, shut up. I know we don't say that, kids. I'm sorry. We shouldn't. Be quiet. Zip the lip. In German, they'd say, halt den Mund. It means hold the mouth. They would say, and he said, hey, we deserve what we're getting, but he didn't. And he cried out to God in a declaration of need. And Jesus, you remember what he said? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. A person can do and not be. You can do all the right things, say all the right things, but if deep down inside you don't have Jesus in your life, you hadn't applied the bread of life to your life, it won't work. A person can do and not be, but a person cannot be. Now listen to this. You cannot call yourself a Christian and do nothing. You can't just sit on the sidelines. You can't just sit in the seats. You can't just voice your opinion through an Instagram or a Twitter account or a Facebook account. What are you doing for the King? Are you applying the faith that you say you have in Jesus Christ with your peanut butter? Are you mixing it all together so that everybody sees the full picture of what a believer of Christ is supposed to look like? So my question to his questions, are you simply talking the walk? Or are you walking the talk? What would happen? Just at Connect Church, what would happen if we started walking the talk? It would change the way we interact with one another. It would change the way that the community around us sees us. It would change our relationships and our marriages and with our children and with our bosses and our employees. It would change us forever. Are we simply talking the walk, or are we walking the talk? And God is calling us as believers of Jesus Christ to walk the talk. And then he moves to a third set of questions in James chapter 2, verses 18. And it's the question of consideration and comprehension. James 2, 18, 19 says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith from my works. And then here it is, verse 19. I think we really need to let the Holy Spirit speak to us through this verse. Considering this, that James was talking to those who claim to be followers of Jesus. He said this. You believe that God is one. Some versions say you believe there's only one God, and you do well because there's really only one God. But, he says, the demons believe that and shudder. Most people I've come in contact, I've never really found anybody that I've come in contact, they may be out there, that deep down inside can really say, I don't believe there's a higher being. Most people I ask, and I quit kind of asking this question because of James 2:19, do you believe there is a God? Because most people say, yes. Now I ask, do you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Has there ever come a point in your life where you've said yes to Jesus when the Holy Spirit prompted you and made you realize that you were in sin and hopeless without the help of Jesus Christ? And you cried out to Jesus, say, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. And the Bible says they declare that, but they demonstrate that. This verse has always bothered me and I've always kept me in check. Matthew 7, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Connect Church, God is calling us to do the will of our Father in heaven, to put aside our wants and our desires and replace them with God's wants and His desires. To live like He designed us to live. And the world needs to see that. In fact, he goes on to say, look, on that day many are going to say to me, that day is talking about judgment day. Many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we do many miracles in your name? Do. We've done all these things, God. We've done all these things. And he says, I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Why? Because they were placing their faith and salvation in just the works and not the maker of the works, the creator of the works. We see that all the time. And I can't judge people except that the Bible does say we can judge people and we'll know them by their fruits. God didn't tell us to check in our brains. But I wonder how many times we see somebody score a grand slam home run or a home run and they point to God. You ever see this? And then you read a story later on in the week about how they were arrested for drunk driving. Or 2 months later, and they're in a fair. We get guys that hold up signs, James 3:16, at the end of almost every goalpost of every football game. I wonder, is that just a declaration? Is that just considering, yes, there's a God? Or is it true comprehension that there is God? That He absolutely is our authority. He's our creator. And He can demand from us the works that He has created for us to do. Here's the question. Are you and I merely giving lip service to God or life service to God? Afraid to judge yourself? Ask someone in your life. They'll tell you pretty quick. Ask your kids. Ask your coworkers. What a great experiment that would be to go up and say, hey, I want to ask you a question. When you see my life, do you see me giving lip service to God or life service to God? Unfortunately, some are going to go, what? I don't see either one of those. Or I hear you talking about it, and then I hear you hanging out. We say hanging out around the water cooler, laughing at all the stuff everybody else is laughing at. Listen to the same kind of stuff. Talk the same kind of words that people are talking. So are you merely giving lip service or life service to God? If it's just lip service, you don't have the complete package. You're not experiencing all that Christianity was intended to be. There's a fourth set of questions. The question of verification and validation. Look what he says in verses 20 to 25. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? It's like, are you really wanting to learn? Are you listening? Are you really trying to understand what I'm trying to tell you? And then he kind of plays dirty with him, I say. He uses their Jewish past to drive home this point, and they could not deny the Jewish stories. He says, was not Abraham our father, and you might want to underline this word, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Everybody knew the story. If you were Jewish, and most people even in that area knew the story of Abraham, God told him to take his firstborn son and walk him up the side of Mount Horeb, which is now where Jerusalem and the temple was at one time. And he walked him up that one side, and he was going to have to sacrifice. He said, tie him up, put the wood around him, and basically kill him and give his life to show me that you love me. We all know the story, right? Well, I love the part of the story, and if you ever get a chance to go to Israel, on the other side of that south side, on the other side, on the north side, is where Golgotha lies. And God brought a lamb from that side to replace the sacrifice that Abraham was going to have to give. God did the same thing for you and me. When we were trying to do it and trying our best, but we couldn't get there, and God brings up Jesus Christ to pay for all the debt that we couldn't hope to pay for so that we would have life. He said, you see that faith was active together. Remember that peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I think there's a chemical reaction that happens when a peanut butter and jelly sandwich comes together. He says, together with his works, and by works, faith was perfected. When you begin to do the things that God asks us to do, it gets better and better and better, and the sandwich tastes better. Life becomes great when you begin to both say and do and believe and to behave. He goes on to say, so that Scripture was fulfilled, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Now the question could be asked, would God call you his friends based on your faith and your works? You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. If you never do what God asks you to do, you got to ask yourself, do I have a real genuine faith? He goes, in the same way, now he's talking about people like us now, street people. He said, in that way was not Rahab the prostitute also, there's that word again, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route. Now, if you read that story carefully, she knew what God was doing. She had heard the stories about what happened to people that were outside the will of God. And she decided not only with her mind to believe in that God, but to act on that belief by sparing and helping spare God's children, by serving, if you will, God's children. You know, getting people to volunteer in the church is like finding a dinosaur in modern day world. Justification, what is that word? Proven or to be shown to be just, right, or reasonable. Proof. Proof. Looking at your salvation, have you said yes to Jesus Christ? Is your faith really alive because it's justified by works? Is there proof enough in your life to convict you or to convict me of being a follower of Jesus Christ? Or do we just look like everybody else? Do we act like everybody else? Do we do what everybody else does? Our deeds, those works are done on the outside to reveal the truth of what's on the inside. And vice versa. When we don't do those things, it reveals what's on the inside. So, the question here is your life a good illustration of faith and works? Finally, we see in verse 26, he comes full circle. He's about to end this kind, and then he's going to move on, and you'll see that next week. He's going to move on to a different topic. But one more time, he said, let me say it again. Listen, let me tell you one more time. I don't want you to miss the overall point of what I was trying to tell you. I don't want you to get into minutiae. I want you to understand the entire truth of what I'm trying to tell you. And he says this, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. It's the question of recapitulation, which is just reinforcing, reminding, saying it again, doing it over again, and realization. So I can remind you, Pastor Aleem can remind you, Pastor Jared can remind you. You can open the Word of God, and it reminds you over and over and over again what we're supposed to do as believers in Jesus Christ. But if we don't grasp it and realize it, we will never experience the spiritual peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And James uses a really morbid illustration, but clear illustration. Those of you who are here where I can see you, how many of you have ever been bedside when a person takes their last breath? Anybody? Several of you have. Man, I read this scripture, and I think of that. When the spirit leaves, that person is no longer alive. Paul says if there's no works with your faith, there's no life. What makes a corpse? Lack of life and motion. When a person is dead, and you go read the scripture, it talks about then this is just a tent that we live in, and it's going to go back to the dust, but what's supposed to be alive moves on and then is judged for our faith and our works. What is living? Believing and therefore doing and convincing others. Being dead, doing, but not believing and trying to convince yourself. Are you convinced? You're trying to convince yourself that you're a believer? Or do you know that you know? And as a result of that, you naturally, supernaturally want to do the good things. James wanted his listeners to hear one more time that faith without works is dead. So the final question I would ask you is your faith alive or is it dead? What do your works show? And why do your works show? So the band is getting ready to come. I want to challenge you and encourage you to experience the wonderful life that God has created for you, to satisfy you, to bring you joy, to fill up that emptiness that is inside you. This bread represents the bread of life, Jesus Christ. The peanut butter represents our faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for our salvation. And the jelly represents the works that we do. And when all of those come together, we get to take a bite out of life. That's what it's supposed to be like. Amazing. Fulfilling. Sticks to you. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. As I try to get this peanut butter off the roof of my mouth, I want to ask you a question. What is God telling you right now? What is He telling you to do right now? How are you supposed to respond to what you heard right now? Not tomorrow, not in 2 weeks, right now. For those of you who have not yet said yes to Jesus Christ, I know what He's telling you to do because He loves you. He's giving you a personal invitation to say yes to Him, to confess that you're a sinner. Agree with Him that your righteousness is no good without Him. It's like filthy rags. You've been living your life for you and you're missing the mark and you're still not satisfied. When you lay down at night, you're empty and you have no hope and you struggle. And today the Holy Spirit is prompting you to say yes to Jesus Christ. He loves you so much. He knows everything that you've done. And He still loves you. And He still wants you to have a close personal relationship with Him. All you've got to do is say yes. But I want to be fair. Saying yes is the first step. Too many people who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ say yes to Jesus and never follow Jesus. You must increase your faith, and it only starts small. Grain of a mustard seed. But your faith begins to increase, begins to be perfected when you begin to do those things that honor God, what His will and His, what God's will is and what His Word says we are to be doing. And then all of a sudden, that faith grows larger. And the works grow increase, and they grow more intense, and the faith grows larger. And we're satisfied. Don't you want to be satisfied? And don't forget that James was talking to believers here. Churches all over this nation are filled with people who are sitters. They're squatters. Is your faith real? James says, without works, faith is dead. So maybe those of you who have called yourself a Christian for years need to reevaluate, did you really say yes to Jesus or not? Or maybe you just need to confess, God, I knew what the Word says. I know what it says, and I know what's being taught, but I don't do it. So I really don't believe that you're who you say you are, or I'm just being disobedient. But either way, God, I ask for your forgiveness, and I repent. Repent means stop doing what you're doing and start doing what God wants you to do. What will you do this morning? Those of you who are here on campus, if you would like to pray, we're going to open up this area down in front of me. You can come and kneel at the altar and pray. Just do business with God. If you're there at home, you can just take your spouse or your friend or your kids or get all together and just kneel right there in your living room or wherever you're watching this. And tell God, God, search me, O God, and see if there's anything that needs to change in me. Renew the joy of my salvation. Then begin to do what we were created to do and watch and experience Christianity it was intended. God, have your way and your will based on your word. In Jesus' name.